Ken and Capital.
Capital. All right, welcome back, everyone, to the Ken and Capital podcast. I'm your host. Alongside me are my brothers, Christian, Chris, and Alexis. Thankfully, they switched it up on me, so a little different. Almost said out of order.
Yeah.
Today, we're addressing productivity, so this should be interesting.
Yeah.
Go ahead and kick things off. We'll talk about the differences between being busy and being productive, and I'll just open this up to the floor, so whoever wants to speak, go ahead.
I'll go first. Or we kind of, it is open discussion, ain't it?
Yeah, just speak on it, yeah.
Well, I feel like that's something I've been learning recently. I listened to a lot of Alex Ramosi. I know we were talking about it a little bit, and he was saying something, and something I started doing is setting a timer when you're working, and then when you stop and get distracted, turn the timer off. And then when you start back up, turn it back on so you can document how long it actually takes to do the thing you're doing. Mm-hmm. And then you can show yourself, I've wasted this much time not really being productive. Because sometimes I'll find myself in front of the computer and I'm checking emails or on LinkedIn or doing goofy stuff. Not goofy stuff. It's stuff that I need to do, but it's not something I necessarily need to be focusing on at that moment. So if I just lock in, narrow down the task that I'm doing that's focused on what I'm trying to get done, I can eliminate all these other wasted things that I'm working on by just setting a timer and showing myself, you're wasting time doing this. You're responding to emails or checking this or getting on Facebook or doing something different, you know?
Yeah. I think it all really depends on what your definition of being busy and productive is, because a lot of busy work can be productive.
Mm-hmm.
You just think it's busy work.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like from your day-to-day job, there's a lot of busy work that you have to do, a lot of paperwork you may have to fill out. But at the end of the day, it's somewhat productive because it's geared towards what you're doing in your day-to-day activity.
Yeah.
I look at it as when I think of being busy versus being productive, like when I say being productive, what are some things that I'm doing to make sure that, one, I'm getting value out of myself as a person.
Right.
I'm providing value to my team or whoever I'm getting in contact
right.
with.
Right.
And also, am I completing the tasks that are making sure that my team or myself is getting the work done,
right?
Being busy to me can be, I'm busy in meetings all day.
Right.
So me being in meetings all the time, I'm not doing anything productive because I'm not doing anything to help progress myself or my team forward. That can be busy, you know what I'm saying?
True.
Versus productive, I'm not in any meetings. I can actually plan out our day-to-day, plan out my week, my next 2 weeks, my quarter,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And kind of just delegate things out to the team or, hey, we've got a project coming up. How do I pretty much prioritize that? You know, outline it for the team and things like that. So I guess it really depends on your definition of being productive and busy.
I got a question for you, actually. I was actually looking forward to this episode because it's something I struggle with as a creative, because a lot of my work is creative,
right.
And you can't always plan creative stuff. You know what I'm saying? So I struggle with that sometimes when I, like, cut out time. Like, okay, like for instance, I'm working on a movie poster right now. And if the ideas aren't coming, I will literally just fucking sit there for like 20, 30 minutes. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's just me trying to get the gears going. So
yeah.
While I'm thinking in my head, it's like I could be doing something else, something minuscule or, day to day type stuff. So, like, how do you guys organize things?
So I'm new to the creative space, but I still do my comic books and stuff like that. But I feel like I work off a checklist. And I don't make them too heavily detailed.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'll literally be like, okay, for instance, on my checklist, I'll be like, work out today, read a success book, listen to audio, work in your comic. I don't necessarily set how much that I'm doing because it gives me a little more flexibility. But I also learn to, when you're doing that, set an actual time, because if you give yourself all day to do it, you kind of procrastinate. And I feel like you crunch yourself down to actually focusing on the thing that you're doing. I know you're gonna get me. We move focusing on the task at hand, so that you're just not giving yourself too much time that you don't actually. Because you might be sitting in the front of your computer for 4 hours and you didn't really get nothing done. But if you say, okay, I'm gonna work from this time to that time, at least for me, it makes me actually focus harder on what I'm doing. Even when it comes to creativity, because obviously I do storytelling through comics. I'm stuck. And I'm like, okay, I only have from this time to that time. Somehow it's been working for me to where, like, I actually start, okay, well, let me bullet point some stuff And instead of just sitting and pondering, let me use ChatGPT, maybe it'll give me some ideas, or let me just bullet point and I don't like that. No, I don't like that. No, that don't fit this character. And I'm active the entire time. And a lot of times too, I put my phone somewhere else where I can't be distracted.
I'm gonna chime in just real quick.
Yeah.
The biggest thing, because you kind of touched on it, is the checklist thing. Mm-hmm. The way I think of it, I look at my task, right? Yeah. Like, so we all always, like, in a day have multiple things we have to do. Mm-hmm. So when I hit a block, I go to something else.
Right.
I step away from whatever I was originally working on that blocked me. Because at that moment, I'm not getting out of that block.
Right.
Like, you have to, I won't say you have to, but for me, I have to refocus that energy somewhere else. Because it's not that I don't want to get something done. It's just something made me pause.
It's not working for you.
Right. Or I don't have the idea.
Yeah.
Some of the things that I do in the creative space, do other things that are creative. Because that might spark an idea for something else that you were missing on. So, like, for instance, like, if I'm, you know, wanting to make music or something like that, and I'm thinking of lyrics, stuff like that, and I hit a roadblock, I might just go draw something. Like, I'll literally just pull up my head. I'll literally just go pick up a picture or something. I'm like, this is easy enough to draw. Start drawing. Yeah. Clears my head, one. Because me just drawing what I see is very easy to do, right? I don't have to think about it. I'm just plotting points and just making my way through it. Right. Usually that'll free me up. And then if I try to go back to it, usually I'm able to get through it. Right. If you think about a video game, when you're trying to get through a specific boss or a specific level, something's making you pause and you go, all right, I need to take a break before I break this thing, right? You step away, you go do something else, and you come back and you beat it.
Yeah,
it's kind of a similar concept of what I do. Just
bro,
for, like,
we were just talking about that, about Wukong. I was saying, man, I'm always getting beat, man. I'm going to give up. And then what you tell me, you was like, man, it's all about consistency, man. You know, once you take too much time away from it, you're going to have to start all over.
Yeah.
But I think, like, you know, me not being a creative, but one thing I do from a corporate world standpoint, like, to make sure that I stay vigilant on things I want to get done. Because I got a lot of distractions from my team, other leaders, other people on other teams. Block out that time on, this is for me, I block out a time on my calendar. I haven't been doing it lately, but just set a block, an hour, 30 minutes, 2 hours of where you're like, all right, this time I'm blocking out on my calendar so nobody will be able to take that time from me. And I can use that time for wherever I want to do, whether it's personal development, get caught up on some tasks I didn't get finished maybe yesterday, last week, or whatnot. And you know, within that hour and a half, you got an hour and a half, whatever you set your time for, I got this much time to do what I need to do. And then after that, it's whatever. So that's, you know, and I don't know how that will be in the creative space, to where, like, being an entrepreneur, you kind of get hit up by whoever. They don't have access to your calendar or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, from a corporate standpoint, mm-hmm. everybody pretty much has access to your calendar. They can just put some time on your calendar.
Exactly,
I can
yeah.
block it to where they can't do that.
Yeah.
As entrepreneurs, you guys can't do that. So I'm really curious on how you can do that, you know, with the advice that I gave from a corporate standpoint in the corporate world, like blocking out a set amount of time where you can work on what you need to work on.
You know,
how do you guys do that?
I think that's a good question, because it kind of leads into, like, one of the topics we had, one of the bullet points at least, is, like, eliminating distractions.
Yeah.
I mean, because I think that's what really kills progression and productivity.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, finding ways to eliminate that. So like Chris was saying, like, how do you guys go about, one, blocking it out, because that sets up that focus time, and then eliminating the distractions as well.
Right. You said, how do you block out the time?
Yeah. Do you? Well, not how do you block out the time?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because as you know too, kids are distractions too. Because And it was hard at first trying to tell, like, they like playing the game a lot,
mm-hmm.
and they'll try to get me to play. And so now, to be honest, I block it out after they go to sleep. So, like, after 8:30 or 9, I'll usually have a set block from, okay, I'm going to do these tasks, maybe if it's multiple, from this time to this time. And setting a specific time frame for it makes me focus better,
mm-hmm.
versus just, oh, tonight I'm going to do all this. I don't know, just, like, specific times makes me I just laser in better. What was the other question?
Eliminating distractions. You're kind of doing that. You mm-hmm. kind of answer both. It's like blocking out the time and eliminating distractions.
Yeah, picking a time where you automatically kind of can't be distracted. Yeah.
I think one thing I do for blocking out time is, like, I just pick a time when I know I'm up, mm-hmm. and no one else is up. So usually in the morning, because I wake up early, like 6 in the morning.
Yeah, it's night for me because my kids don't sleep.
The other thing is like eliminating distractions. One of the things I kind of do with my kids to kind of like give me freedom, but also give them the same thing that they want. Like if I'm working on like a house project, I'm like, okay, what can I do that they could do along with me?
Yeah.
Because it kind of knocks out two birds at once. Yeah. Like if my wife is, you know, cooking or something like that, she might bring, you know, my son along to kind of help mix or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just trying to like find things that, you know, it's a task for me to get done.
Yeah.
But it's also something they can do and learn and have fun at the same time. So that's kind of some of the things I do. Because like being creative, like as we know, like drawing, like because we draw, right? Kids love to draw.
Yeah.
But hey, why don't you draw this? And I'll draw this, right? Yeah. Or whatever the task is. Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of times we see the children as being there, and we don't realize what they're capable of doing. Right. And so sometimes just, you know, integrating that into their life, you just, one, it'll teach them, one, to be more responsible.
Yeah.
And they just have, and they enjoy it more, too, over time. So
I think one thing, too, to kind of keep in mind, too, is, like, when scheduling out those time blocks where you want to know for sure you're not going to get distracted or anything like that, time that stuff around a time that makes sense for you. And when I say that, some of us are morning people. Some of us get more energy in the afternoon, the evening.
Yeah.
So, like, for me, I don't know what happened over time. As I got older, I become more of a morning person.
Yeah.
So I get, when I wake up in the morning, I'm more energized, it seems like. As long as I have my cup of coffee, I'm ready to go. As the day progresses after lunch, that energy starts going down. So, like, for instance, like, in my job, you know, around the time when the guys, when I have to do performance evaluations and stuff like that, what I did, and you spoke about it, Mike, I wake up earlier than everybody else when I know they log on.
Yeah.
So I know for sure from 7 a.m. to about 9 a.m., nobody's even up yet, you know, because everybody's working remote. Yeah. I got a good 2-hour block where I could just focus in, have my little jazz or something playing in the background, my lo-fi stuff,
lo-fi
music, and then I can just get stuff done. And I know during that time, I'm a morning person. I can zero in, get my work done, and then, so pretty much just find a time that kind of works for you,
because, right.
you know, you work better at certain times of the day, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when it comes to work, I think there's a kind of two things to differentiate here is when it comes to work is going to have specific tasks for you to do, things like that. So you have to get those things done. But sometimes you'll have, depending on what kind of job you have, most remote work, there's a lot of white space sometimes. And so making sure that that's productive.
Sure.
Sometimes controlling when people are able to engage with you, like you said, like on your calendar, be like, nope, I got this time to myself, because they will impose on it, and making sure that you at least have that time to get things done gives you some sanity, one.
Yeah.
And it gives you a break, because to be honest, like, I don't know if 8 hours a day is something we should be doing every day, you know, working wise. You think about at the end of the day, when you come home, you're exhausted, you're tired, things like that. Even working remote, like, people probably don't understand this, but you sit in a chair all day, it has some impacts on your body. Yeah. That's why I have a standing desk and a treadmill, because you lose energy. Two, my back doesn't hurt. I don't feel achy and stuff like that, because you have to move. And there's a difference between when you have a laboring job and a more relaxing job.
Yeah.
And so kind of give that notion, let you know, everybody understand, like, there are pains to both sides, but recognize them and make sure that you're adjusting for them. One of the things that we wanted to talk about is, like, I think we've all kind of at one point been, you know, at the bottom of the group of like a team or something like that. You know, workforce, whatever, came to, you know, you're starting out, you're green, so you're not at the same level as maybe the top performer. But I believe at some point all of us have reached that level of being like one of the higher performers or even the top performer and stuff like that. So kind of going into the mindset of how we prepare each day to go and be like a high performer. So kind of like, what does your day-to-day look like when you start work? Chris, you already talked about it. You kind of get in early, kind of get yourself ahead. of some of the tasks and workload and kind of probably just woosahing a little bit before the day gets crazy. So what are some of the things that, you know, the rest of you guys probably try to incorporate in your day? Make sure that you're performing at a high level.
Yeah. Always be learning is one thing that helps me. Learn. Read books, listen to audios. Sometimes you got to motivate yourself. I'm in sales, so I feel like just being an introvert too, sometimes my mind just turns off and I can fall into my old habits of like, I don't feel like doing this.
Yeah.
So I got to find like motivators sometimes. So a lot of times at work, they'll recommend books and I've already read them. And I kind of feel proud about that sometimes because it shows that I'm prepared for the job, but they recommend them to the group and some people read them, some people don't. And to be honest, it shows the difference in performance, who's actually educating themselves versus who's self-educated, if that makes sense. Like who thinks they know it all versus who's actually open to learning new techniques and learning new stuff. Like I'm always finding ways to improve at what I do. I always know that there's somebody out there better than me. And I try to be, it's, you know, I have a me versus me mentality, so I don't necessarily care if I'm the best salesman in the world, but I'm always aware that there's always something to be learned.
Right.
And I have to keep myself in that spot to be, just be able to provide for my family effectively. So my day, a lot of times is on my checklist is listening to audios and books. I'm always trying to find new books to read and stuff like that, to help me move up, in my company as far as like move my sales numbers up, as I should say.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me to kind of pick back up, I think part of your question was like, you know, how did we prepare ourselves to get to a point where we were a top or a high performer on what we do? And I think I touched on this a couple of episodes ago, but basically you got to pretty much just do the work nobody else is willing to do.
Yeah.
And just to pick, you know, just pick back up on that, like, continue to take yourself out of your comfort zone. If there's a project, let me use an example. Let me break it down an example. So when I was just an engineer in my field, in the IT field, I was on a team. I got put on another team for a while doing totally different work. And that team I used to be on, they had a backlog of work that nobody was touching because of one, I think they were just intimidated about the backlog of tickets they were getting. Mm-hmm. And so on this other team, I wasn't being fulfilled. I was like, I'm about to leave the company because I'm not doing what I really want to do. And so I had my connection, my relationships with people still on the other team, talked to the manager, director, got me back over there, right? What was the first things that, one, they tasked me, they was like, hey, Chris, man, you know you got this experience to be on the team before. Can you take a look at this backlog and see what you can do? Everybody's just so slammed and nobody has time or the bandwidth to kind of tackle that backlog to get the ticket volume down. I took a look at that volume. I mean, we're talking about over 300 plus tickets just sitting in the backlog. And I hunkered down and I started knocking them bad boys out. Now, I think I probably got it down. I can't remember the exact number, but I got it down to about 100. Well, not the total, but I dropped like 100 tickets off of it just by hunkering down, getting it done. But me by doing that, that set me up for success. And I was above everybody else because I actually took the time, got the work done.
Yeah.
And to management leadership, I'm like, oh, man, Chris don't be playing. Well, he's a high performer. Yeah. He knocked these out. And we got a team of however many, and they act like they couldn't go in the backlog and tackle this work.
Yeah.
So just taking on that work that people don't want to take on because, one, if they're even intimidated or just saying they just don't have the time to do it, but just do it.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. I kind of set myself apart from everybody else because I just took on that work and just the volume of tickets I was able to close in that short amount of time. That's how I set myself up for success. So,
yeah. It seemed like it's like do the job to get the job.
Yeah, that's a good. You know what I mean? Like, way to put
that's
it.
That's what kind of got you noticing.
Do the job to get the job. That's wild.
Yeah, I think mainly the downside to what people face when they're struggling to progress in their careers and stuff like that is they take the job for the minimum and not really exploiting the job.
Yeah.
And what I mean is, like, what you're saying is a simple concept. Your job tells you, hey, I need this, this, and this done. If you only do this, this, and this, well, okay, guess what? You are just like everybody else they hired.
Yep.
And so just separating yourself from others and recognizing certain things that, you know, maybe somebody else isn't doing, It could just be like, hey, maybe you're just trying to look for a way to solve something no one was thinking about.
Yeah.
You know, just identifying those kind of things.
Well, not even that. Also, just letting it be known as well. If you are willing to progress in your field or whatever, let that be known. Don't keep it in. That's one way to set yourself apart from everybody else, because a lot of people just expect it to come to them.
Yeah.
And like, one of the things I think I mentioned before, too, like closed mouths don't get fed. I learned that from a senior leader in the past. It was like, if you don't open your mouth and tell anybody what you want to achieve, then you're not, how are you going to achieve it?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can sit there and think you're doing the work you're supposed to do and going above and beyond, but to leaders, they don't know what you're doing. They're stuck in meetings all day. Yeah. So you got to let them know. Let them know what you're interested in. Let them know what you've been doing, and then they can kind of help you, help nurture you, help mentor you, scope you into to get in that next position or whatever.
Yeah.
So what are some tools that you guys are kind of incorporating in your days to be productive? I know, Christian, you were talking about, like, listening to audiobooks and stuff like that, which is super impactful. I think what people might be missing from that is it's – a quick way to get information while working on something else and not having to actually read.
Right.
I think a lot of people struggle just with reading because they got to sit down and actually do it with their eyes and interpret it with their head. But when you listen to somebody actually talk, it's like easier. You can do it more often and you get through the material a lot faster.
Especially
too.
When you're on the go all the time too. It is
exactly.
hard to find time to sit and read and do that.
Yeah.
But as far as tools,
I mean, you mentioned another one too, which was the timer.
Yeah, the timer for sure. Time blocking out time for myself. I'm always trying to separate work and like the stuff I'm doing entrepreneurially, because something I use as a tool to help me think and process stuff is ChatGPT a lot. I ask a bunch of questions to try to figure out where I'm going with an idea and get out. You know, just and you can't do that unless you're moving. Like, I feel like if you're just sitting pondering on your own thoughts, sometimes you need an assistant. You need something to help bounce ideas off of. You know what I mean? To get the creative juices flowing or to see something maybe you didn't see. And I think AI is good for that. I think any, you know, do some research on AI stuff that can help you automate your day or help you take stuff off your plate or just sometimes help research. And don't I wouldn't say let it think for you. You still got to come up with your own ideas and stuff like that, but you know, it is good for a good tool to help you. I'm trying to think of like what I'm looking for. Help you get the juices flowing,
like brainstorm.
Yeah, brainstorm. Yeah. So I use AI a lot. I really do. But yeah, as far as listening to audios, reading books and stuff, I use Spotify a lot, or I'll buy books on Amazon, the audiobook version, and just listen to them on Audible or something like that. But, yeah, I mean, besides that, I can't really think of too much else I'm using. I mean, besides just specific, I use a couple of different AI platforms, but they're specific to what I do.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's really helpful for somebody in a job sense.
Yeah, I think one good thing to use, what I use to kind of keep track of my day-to-day, make sure I'm staying on task, on in line of what things I want to get done, I use OneNote, Microsoft OneNote.
Yeah.
And in OneNote, you can pretty much, you can make bullet points, or anything you want, but I make tasks for myself.
Okay.
So I make tasks and I order them by day.
Yeah.
Day of the week. If I think of something or I have an action item from a meeting or something like that, I jot it down in OneNote as a task so I won't forget.
Okay.
So I always go back to my task. I think they're called, I can't remember, tabs or sections in OneNote. I go back to it, see what I have outstanding. Right. And then I can just go back to the days, be like, oh, I didn't get that task done. Let me work on it. Then I literally check it off.
Yeah. See, I still use a physical calendar. I need to get better at digital calendars.
You can
and
do tasks and calendars too.
Well, I mean, like I go buy a physical.
A planner.
Yeah.
I got a marker board in my office.
Really?
Yeah, I have to.
Yeah, I probably need to get better at digital. I know Francis uses a calendar. She's like, did you check the calendar? I was like, no, I didn't. I'm sorry.
I wouldn't say getting better at digital. I'll say this. So one thing that helps me and my wife out a lot is we share the
shared calendar. Yeah.
Yeah. We have a shared calendar for the whole family. So anything like related to the children or her, anything event wise or time wise that she needs to make sure that I'm aware of, she puts on there and I do the same thing. Right. And that way we can carve out time to understand when we can do things, when we have free time and It just makes things a lot easier.
Yeah, she's trying to get me to do it. I just keep. Did you see that we had this today? I'm like, oops.
So one thing.
You just can't do it, period.
Really? Yeah.
So, you know, one thing I did was you technically can blow up the icon for your calendar on your phone. I don't know if you guys have ever seen
like
mine.
Widget it? Like make it a, is that what it's called?
Yeah, make it a widget. Yeah. And it'll actually highlight. You can actually see what the next day task is. You can see what the day's task is. That way, when you look at your phone, like, huh, what's
that? You ain't got to do all this clicking in stuff.
Yeah, you don't have to click into stuff. And that made it easier for me to be aware. Like, I mean, I put people's birthdays in it, right? That way I don't have to ever, and I set it to every year, notify me on this day, right? And it makes things a lot easier, especially, like, making that widget, like I said, because you're going to notice something's there.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, widgets are very helpful in productivity. Yeah. You can, I mean, whatever it is that you need to do, you can set it on there.
Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with a physical calendar too. Like if the physical calendar is for you, keep using it.
Yeah. I just haven't gotten away from it.
Right. Like, yeah. I mean, but that's your bread and butter. Like if that keeps you on task for the things you need to do, mm-hmm. keep doing it. Like what they want you to do, like I said, figure out a way to, you know, it's funny whenever I'm trying to like think of things to make myself do something or be more aware of something, I just like research, okay, what's a way to make this pop out to where I can't ignore this, right? I used to do reminders.
Yeah.
But calendars now on iPhones are way better because it'll alert you too. You don't even have to set a reminder anymore. Now, if you want to set a reminder for like a daily task, okay, go ahead. Yeah. That's probably a better use for it.
Yeah.
I used to do that for working out, for picking up the kids, for dropping them off, or being at a meeting, stuff like that. Because I knew that was going to happen every day.
Right.
But for like the calendar stuff, man, I was just like, yeah, I'd rather just do the calendar events because that's easier. It's going to alert you and it's going to be there when you like. One of them that I set, is every other week the recycling gets picked up. So literally I just got it set every other Thursday at 4:00 p.m. Remind me to take the, I'm sorry, Wednesdays. Remind me that night, go take the recycling out. Right. I don't do it for Fridays because that's every Friday. It's not hard to miss unless I did something crazy. But yeah, there's a lot of different. It's more so identifying who you are and what you lack in preparation. Whatever, everybody has their weaknesses, the things that they are a sloth to.
This.
You know what I mean? So, like, if you're a sloth to it, there's a way to bring you out of that laziness, out of that sloth mode, out of that procrastination, and there's a tool for it.
Yeah.
Look into it, research. Also, know that this is something you have to want. I think people just want something to always do it for them. It's like, look, you got
to
do
you
a good
be
amount
willing
of
to
the
change
work.
It. Yeah. I know I was a procrastinator or I just made excuses. Like I got a bad memory. Well, instead of using that as an excuse and just talk to myself, like get a calendar.
Exactly.
That's why I started using calendar because I used to always say that. Like I got terrible memory. I got terrible memory.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think everybody does. That's why you just got to be organized.
Right.
And, you know, be accountable to yourself and write the mess down. So I just started doing that. Instead of just always having an excuse as to why you can't do something, like I said, find a tool that might be able to help you with that thing. For sure. I like that.
Well, one thing I have to do with my calendar is put it out in the open because my old spot is behind my door. So I would write it on the calendar, and then I'd be like, damn, I feel like I'm supposed to do something today.
Yeah.
And I check my phone. I'd be like, nah. Check my notes on my iPhone or something like that. I'd be like, nah, I think I asked Tina, my wife. I'd be like, hey, are we doing anything? She'd be like, nah. I'd be like, oh. And I moved the door out the way. I'm like, oh, shit. I got a meeting. Like, so I got to move that thing, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really do. Because every time I go in your room, like.
I think one day you came over, it was a whole month behind.
There, it was.
Damn.
It was pretty bad.
That's funny.
It was like, pretty bad.
Yeah.
The point of having a. Yeah. I'm working at it, I promise.
Yeah.
Another thing to help is just to your problem, keep it in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's why I said with the whole calendar, digital ones, right? Like. Just make the widget bigger because it's hard to ignore that.
Yeah.
If whatever you need to provide that outlet to, you know, make you aware of it, make you move, make sure it's something in front of you. If you sit at a desk and you work, whatever it is, it better be within eyesight.
That's funny. I was just about to say that too. Yeah. Like I put it on my office chair upstairs so that I can, like my calendar and the book I'm reading. I put it right there.
Yeah.
So I can't miss it.
Yeah.
It's not somewhere stashed where I'm like, oh, you know, where I can't find it. So I'm like, and that's just a way to help me because I used to do the same thing. Like, You know, do I have something? Like, bruh, you know I mean? I've had that same issue too. Like, I'm just months behind. It's like, I ain't putting nothing in my planner in a minute, or I ain't checked this, I ain't checked that. So just putting it somewhere I know I'm going to sit every day helps me out.
That's funny you mentioned planner, because my wife is huge into planners.
Yeah.
She's huge into physical planners. Like, she's real big on it. I don't get it. I mean, I get it, but, you know, I'd rather have my stuff digitally written down somewhere. She has to have a physical planner she could look at, turn the pages and things like that. So I know that's a really good tool to have, a planner to keep track of what you got going.
Absolutely.
Well, another tool that could be very beneficial that me and my team, well, teams at my job currently use is a software called Mural. So basically the premise of it is, like, let's just say in this setting, a physical setting, let's just say we want to bounce ideas off each other and see how it looks physically on a whiteboard.
Yeah.
Let's just say we have a whiteboard right here. We all got post-it notes, and we'll give the group like 5 minutes to place your ideas towards this topic. You write it down on a post-it note, slap it on the board wherever you want, right? And then afterwards, when that time's up, you order them. Ah, this is good. Keep it. Ah, throw that out. That's pretty much what it is.
I've seen that before at places
but there's a way to they've got a software now called Mural Board to where you can do all that stuff remote and digitally. So, like, we can get on a Teams or something.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, or Zoom, and you go on a Mural Board, and they have, like, actual post-it notes you can kind of drag, drop, put whatever you want in there. And
I have heard of that.
Yeah.
I took a UX course, and it was between Mural and, what's the other one? But I've used it one time during a boot camp.
We use it a lot. So, like, if we got a project or something, or we're trying to figure out what we want to prioritize, what project takes more priority over the other, in what order, we put together a Mural Board, and we'll just slap ideas out there.
Yeah, I have used that because I was in a programming software development course, and because we all have to collab on the project, we use that.
Yep, that's a good tool.
Cause you can draw, like, you can draw. It's not just diagrams. You can put pictures, diagrams,
all kinds. They have templates out there you can use. Let's just say, if you have one of, like, let's talk. I'm building a new team, and I want to kind of have an ideation session to where we figure out what are the roles and responsibilities for the team. They have a template for that.
Yeah,
and then you can just kind of, you know, they break it out like a pie scenario, and then you can kind of put your post notes on where you want to do whatever. You can draw whatever you need to do.
Yeah,
yeah,
really useful.
Yeah, it is. I didn't learn about it until I got to my job I'm at, and then we use it all the time.
Is it like software, or is it like
software?
Software.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I've heard of that before.
Yeah, I think you gotta buy a subscription to it.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta pay for
it. Oh, man. I wonder if I think the school just probably had a subscription. That's probably how we were able to use it. I'm not sure, actually. There's probably like a free trial, though.
I'm pretty sure there's a
so, trial. Like, you know, for the folks listening, like, just see what's available.
Yeah, and that's a good point. Alexis, I don't know if it might be in the cloud. You may just be able to just go to muralwhatever.com and just use it. You might just have to
pay. M-I-R-O, right?
M-U-R-A-L.
Oh, maybe that's not the same thing I use.
No, I believe it is cloud-based.
Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, I think it's cloud-based.
Yeah, it is.
When we talk about subscriptions,
it stays up there.
Yeah.
Collaboration software, I think you always have to have that when it's a team effort. I think a lot of times people have too many meetings when they should just literally condense the meetings and then have a platform where they can just keep the idea. Like, if you got one project that you're working on, you don't need a million meetings on it. Like, you just need to be able to sort through the nonsense, be able to, like you said, have ideas.
Yep.
And then people can, like, I mean, you could do so much on that Mural that I remember it. Because, like, in software development, one of the things you have to always do is, like, it's called pushing code. So if you make changes, right, you have to update it, be able to push it. GitHub is one of the platforms we were using to actually keep the repository of the project that we're doing. Yeah, so, like, you know, before anybody wants to go and make changes and stuff, like, you can talk about, like, the steps and the phases and everything like that. And then, you know, whoever does what work related to the project, you know, they can probably push their update once they're done. Some kind of collaboration, like, just don't have too many meetings. I think no one likes meetings. Like, I think that's just, like, no one likes meetings, but yeah, you'll go to a job and there's always a meeting, sometimes multiple times a day.
And after lunch.
Yeah. Let's talk about, like, health and productivity.
That's the website.
I think a big issue with busy work is it kind of drains you. I thought it was raining for a second. It's like, it's coming through the roof. So like busy work, like understand, we talked about understanding the difference between busy and productivity. But also make sure that you're being productive in a healthy way. I think we kind of touched on it a little bit. You know, I think we've all been in a position where it's like, you're trying to be productive, but you might be overdoing it. You might be underdoing it.
Boundaries and
I think people need to understand, like,
I think it's dependent on who the person, to be honest, how much you can stand or what your goals are. I've had seasons of burnout, but it's that's more so in my career. When it comes to doing my own thing, I have yet to burn out.
What do you mean?
When like tasks I do for my job, and maybe that's just because I want to be an entrepreneur full time. I do burn out some of the tasks that I have to do at work, but the stuff I have to do, it's still, I'm still in a phase where it's fun for me. And so like building it and learning stuff and whatnot, I haven't, like, so if I sometimes I overwork, and you know, Francis wants more time and wants us to do other stuff. So I haven't reached that burnout phase, but I know that it's going to come at some point, probably when you're just in the mundane phases of doing this stuff over and over and over and over again. I think that's what you're referring to as far as like healthy, like being healthy productivity versus not healthy is like working too much versus not working too much and
understand your schedule. And cause like, I think when people lock in, like I do this with woodworking, like when I built that bookcase, I kind of overdid it. Like I would go days, like sometimes I skip lunch, skip a meal.
But you enjoyed it. That's what I'm saying. Maybe you're at the stage of burnout. That's where I am with stuff. I'm like, I'm not in a burnout phase, so I feel like I can work as long as I really want to.
Yeah.
But
I'm just saying, be careful.
Yeah.
Like, don't skip meals.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times we fall into the trap where it's like, I don't want to break this concentration.
Yeah.
Take care of your body. True. Like, that's true. Think about what you need in order to get through the day. You need to eat, you need rest, you need breaks. Yeah. Like, right. Make sure you have those.
Too, yeah.
Yeah, and that's another thing, like, you need to exercise. Chris, one of the things you were talking about was during the day, like, you start out really good in the morning, right? And then that, you're kind of getting up to the peak, and then, and one of those things is because, when you work from home or when you work from a job where you sit down, there's not a lot of mobility, right? You're not getting the blood moving.
Yeah.
You're drowsy. Like, that's, anybody who's had an actual labor job knows you don't get drowsy right away.
Yeah.
Like, you're good to go for most of the day. But the moment you get a job where it's like, you get a little break, all day. Boy.
Yeah. It's actually tougher when working from home, just sitting in front of a desk all day. Cause like you said, you get those moments where you're drowsy. If you don't have anything on your, let's say any meetings or anything on your schedule, you can kind of get, you can space out a little bit. So when you have those moments to where you feel like you're on a downward spiral and you feel like you're not being productive, one of the things I do is I get up, I lock my computer, I walk away.
Nice.
And I go sit in the family room, watch something for TV for about 30 minutes or something, or turn my podcast on, make me something to eat, something. Just, I got to get away from my office, because at that point, if I'm like yawning or like dope, like I'm like, all right, I got to get up. And go, if I could step outside for a minute, I got to do something. But it's really important to, you got to make sure that you schedule time for yourself to rest. Like Mike was saying,
sure.
You got to have rest away from your job, because if you're just hands down, even if you're like up against a deadline, you still got to rest, right? You know what I'm saying? Your body has to be well rested in order to perform at its highest level. So. Yeah. Yeah, I gotta get away from it sometimes.
Yeah,
I feel like it's something I need to work on too. I don't know if my other creatives experience this, but like during the twilight hours, like after midnight, the creativity just flows, man. I don't know what it is. Yeah. I'll have ideas just coming and coming and coming. And I'll just be in this vibe, writing in my notes. But do you know what I'm talking about, man?
Yeah, absolutely. I've tried. It's different now. I try to pull all nighters, but it don't always work because I always get tired. But
Okay, so I'm going to make a suggestion here.
Yeah.
Don't do all-nighters.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay when you're young and you don't have children.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's different now. I can't really do them as much no more. Yeah. I tell myself, I'm going to do all-nighter, And then by 2 o'clock, I'm out. And I can only do those on the weekends. If it's during the work week, it's not happening. But Friday, Saturday night, stuff like that, if I'm feeling creative and got stuff to work on, I'll just be at it.
I'm trying to switch to the AMers like y'all. Like, I get up early.
I was an AMer at a point in time. I've switched for some reason.
I'm so mad in the morning. Yeah. I'm not a morning person. I'm just like, hate the sun, hate the bird. I'm just mad in the morning.
Yeah.
not the sun and the birds, though.
I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah.
I think there's something to be said. One thing that I try to incorporate in my life is that work, having a work-life balance.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I wake up in the morning, I log on to work 8:30, and I get off at 5. And that's, unless I get called for like a system down or something like that, I shut my work brain off.
Right.
And I, after work, I go to the gym, I chill with the wife, I hang out, watch TV, play video games, whatever I need to do, and then I start that cycle over again. I don't log back into work until 8:30 tomorrow, the next day.
Right.
So I make sure I shut that off. Now, that's just for me from a corporate standpoint. Now, being a creative and an entrepreneur, you guys got to hustle.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And like, we're having kids during the day, you guys are tending to your kids and your family. And then at night when they're asleep, that's probably the best time that you can actually think. You have time, you have quiet time, and things just pop up.
It's kind of hard too. And I know I'm still in a learning phase, but even like doing some of the stuff for the podcast, like, the more you get into something, the more you realize, dang, I don't know how to do that. And then you got to learn it. And then it takes more time. And so I'm trying to destroy the learning curve on stuff I don't know how to do, because obviously we're trying to get this off the ground and things of that nature. But sometimes it's you get so locked in.
Yeah.
It's like, well, if I break now, I might go through a whole work day and come back and I got to pick it up. It's like, let me at least get through this part.
This is why when I learn things, I write, I take notes.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's to progress my career or something. Literally, it can be, if this is a pursuit, I have notes on it. Because I can't rely on myself to remember everything.
Right.
The minute I stop doing it, I'm going to forget.
Yeah.
So I write notes in a way that only I understand.
Mm-hmm.
That when I go back to look at it, it's boom, instant. Not even just recall. I can immediately go do it. Because I wrote the note to make sure that I could do it.
That's a profound success principle, too. Myron Golden talks about that. And he talks about when he reads audiobooks, reads books, listen to audios, or anything, he doesn't take notes on what he read. He takes notes on what his brain thought when he read the thing.
Exactly.
That's very, I like that.
You have to understand who you are and the faults that you have. Mine is memory.
Mm-hmm.
So I could write notes on everything I hear, then at that point I'm just rereading the book, right?
Exactly.
So you write the notes on the things that stick out to you the most, because they're like, maybe it's a complex concept or something, or a specific technique that requires multiple steps.
Yeah.
It's like you write in a way that it's, one way I write my notes is I use the arrows. So I go, do this, arrow, then this, arrow, then this, arrow, done.
Yeah.
I literally don't have to go reread anything. It's just step, 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 boom, go do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't have time to go rewatch the videos or Google it. I paid for the course.
That's true.
So I should be taking notes on how to do it every time, regardless if I'm doing it every day or not. Like, I should be able to just come back after a year and be like, I don't remember how to use this software.
Yeah. You got effective boom, 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 notes boom.
Right, because there's going to be something specific that you want to do, like, you're going to remember some things. Yeah. You're just not going to remember everything.
Yeah.
I'll say this on the creative side. However you get the juices flowing, sounds terrible. I mean, obviously keep doing it, because if that's what gets you success and it gets you through it, do it. But what I'll say is make sure that you're doing it in a healthy way. Because what we'll do is we'll stick to something that always guarantees us that way, and we haven't explored anything else, right? Don't trap yourself in that box. If you're married, you got family, talk to your spouse. The one thing people do not do is communicate with their spouse. They wait to get told to do something, and then they feel like they can't do anything outside of those barriers. Yeah. Talk to your spouse, because trust me, there's a work-life balance, and then there is a family-life balance. Cool. And if you don't have the balance for yourself, you're not going to be happy.
Yeah.
It's just the bottom line. You have to make sure that you get what you need to get through in life. Because if you're always doing something for everybody else and you're not doing the things that you need to do for you, you're hurting yourself. Now, mind you, if you're using your time to do things that you shouldn't be doing, that is on you. Because if somebody notices that you're spending your time, you should be doing something, and you're doing something else that's not productive, there's nobody's fault but your own. Right. So communicate. Make sure that you block out time for yourself. That's what I do. Yeah. I go, hey, I need these 5 hours.
Yeah.
And be like, you got the kids, you got all the responsibilities. Cool. Guess what? You get these 5 hours.
Yeah.
Right? Give and take. Because we all need it. Yeah. You know, I'm not the only one who needs it. She does too. Communicate, because I think once a week, you can't get a whole day to yourself. Because it's only 7 days, and she going a whole day to yourself. Mm-hmm. You only be stuck with them kids every week. One day to yourself. Yeah. You got a bunch of, I got two, and trust me, I'm like, mm-mm.
Yeah.
Block out time for yourself. Be like, give me 5 hours, right? You need time to be able to go, all right, let me get an hour to unlock my brain. That means clear it out of distractions, clear it of thoughts and useless information. Let me get time to prep and get ready for something, and then I got the rest to just go knock it out.
Yeah.
Be productive, and you'll appreciate it.
Yeah.
Also use that time, too, like on, you know, if there's like a day when you want those 5 hours, maybe you just want to just have your time to yourself, and you just don't want to be productive. Maybe you just need to unwind,
sure.
Right? Do that, because I know what we'll all do. We go hard for our kids and our family, right? And we'll be like, no, it's my obligation, my responsibility. I love them. I just keep going, do, 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 do. And you're trying to do all these multiple things at the same time.
Yeah.
It just impacts everybody.
Yeah.
So be creative, be smart, and try other options.
Yeah.
Don't feel like you're only locked into one thing.
Right.
I don't know how much more to say on that. I mean, health is very important to productivity.
Yeah.
We touched on working out. Chris, you every day, Monday through Friday, boy, you in that gym.
I got to. That's like it's my safe haven. That's where any stress that I built up throughout the day, I know I got that gym waiting on me, boy.
Weights.
I got that iron.
I'm
relieving some stress.
Yeah.
And usually, and a lot of times, you know, that's just really a time not only to relieve stress, but really just to blank my thoughts out, have my music playing. I'm not thinking about work, nothing else, just lifting weights, just clearing my mind. And then that kind of, it's a reset for me. Because sometimes when you get off work, you're just anxious, you're just built up with sometimes frustration, or I just need something to kind of release that energy. Reset, and when I come back home, I'm relaxed.
Yeah.
And then I can start my day the next day. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think we get so wound up into what we do in our jobs. A lot of times people make the mistake of letting their jobs kind of filter into their day-to-day life.
That stress from it.
That stress, you take that stress with you from your work, and you bring it to your family. And that's why I think it's important for me, after I log off at 5, I go to the gym ASAP.
Good.
You know what I mean? I have to just kind of just, I got to decompress. That's my way of decompressing.
Yeah.
And then after that hour and a half I'm in the gym, I'm good.
Kind of all turned off. Yeah. You still run, Mike?
Oh, no.
Really?
No.
I feel like walking or running sometimes can be a good, like.
Yeah, no, it was. Oh, man, the runner's high was everything to me. Unfortunately, my body just can't support that level of activity anymore. But.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's why I got the treadmill. I'll at least walk 2 miles.
Walking's a big one. I know that's a real big one.
I'm big in calisthenics. I can't really lift heavy anymore, wrist joints. But, you guys know me. Like, I'm always talking about staying in shape because that's always been important to me. I've never wanted to be out of shape. I've never wanted to feel like too old to do something.
Right.
I mean, I'm smart about the things I do, but... Yeah. I mean, it goes into a lot. It gives me the energy every day. It allows me to be able to pick up them kids and everything else. I mean, I guess we can go into, like, the last subject here of being, like, how do you execute on ideas instead of collecting, which is huge. I think this might take a minute. What do you guys do when you're trying to make sure you're not just collecting ideas, that you're actually executing on the things that you want to do?
Oh, that's a good question because I think
I kind of wish this would have been like maybe my third question to go out.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Even in my day-to-day at work, I had a conversation with a consultant on my team. And I mentioned the mural board and things like that. We could put ideas and stuff on paper all day, but how are we going to execute on that stuff?
Right.
And, you know, I think the best thing to do, if you don't even know how to start, this is where networking comes into play, and reach out to people who may have been in that space before. Sure. And kind of like, okay, how did you kickstart this? Like, sure. Me and my team, we want to kickstart this project. What's the first step? Reach out to somebody who has that experience, that knowledge, and that can go a long way.
Yeah.
Right. And even outside of the corporate world, even if you're trying to kick something off from an entrepreneur standpoint, man, reach out to somebody. Yeah. Networking is huge, because there's so many people that have different experiences, different knowledges in different areas. Yeah. All you gotta do is reach out. And you'll get some nuggets, man.
Yeah, I was going to even say to piggyback off of that, because that's like the first step of it. But I feel like some people can get caught up in that accumulation of the information and not implementing the information. So it's like no amount of reading or audios. And I was kind of guilty of this earlier on in my sales career. You feel like you know it all from reading and audios. Like, I'm going to be the best salesman in the world. But you don't. But then you actually go and do it and you suck at it. And it's like, dang, I read all this crap.
Yeah.
I think the doing in itself helps you get over the fear of doing it, or the accumulation of the knowledge. You have all this knowledge, you have all this understanding, quote unquote, but you don't really master the stinking thing until you do it.
Yeah, just do it.
You just got to do it. Like, I know a lot of people who are, like, for instance, in sales are afraid of cold calls. The only way to get over cold calls is to cold call.
Yeah.
The only way to get better at communication is to communicate. Or nowadays, YouTube, document yourself talking, write a book, you know, get better at writing, or just anything when it comes to actually doing the thing. Reading, and that's a first step, and it's an important step. Reading and networking, so it's a very important step, because you still got to know what you're doing. But don't get so caught up in overdoing the information portion of it without the implementation portion, because you just won't get better at it.
So you both are saying to avoid the collection of a backlog, make sure you're actually executing on things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, they go together. You still need both of them. You can't just go in blind. You got to have the information. But I'm pretty sure there's plenty of people that were in a phase before where they just, you get too deep in, you not too deep into learning, but you overlearn.
You overthink
and
it.
You don't do any action.
Yeah, don't overthink it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's as simple as just trying to execute with the first step.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Just got to do it.
You know, you can get so caught up in like, oh, we want to do this. Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's do this too. Okay, well, what about this?
Exactly.
Okay,
then nothing's actually happening,
but you got anything. A big old board of ideas, and you're veering off this way, and you never executed on step one.
Yeah.
Sounds like my streaming queue.
Yeah. What you mean?
Yeah. Like, you know how you go to Netflix or Hulu and you're like, oh, I'm going to add this to my
channel. Yeah.
And you got this backlog.
You didn't watch none of them.
And you know what's funny is, like, you'll look at them too and you'd be like, man, I want to watch that. And you just start going through them.
I ain't in the mood.
Nah, not today.
Yeah.
And then you end up not watching anything on that.
Yeah. I do that with games. Like, I used to be a big gamer, but now it's like, I got so much stuff saved on Game Pass and I'm like,
yeah.
Open world,
yeah.
Looter shooter, too much time.
Yeah.
Not doing it.
I think a big way to say this is make sure that you're collecting ideas that you actually want to do.
Yeah.
Right? Like, make sure your passion is geared towards it. I think the biggest thing with this podcast is do what you love. Mm. If you try to do what's going to make you the most money, you ain't going to do it for long.
Yeah.
I guarantee it. So pick the ideas that are going to be executable because you really look forward to doing it. I think when you're excited about doing something, you'll actually do it.
Yeah.
When you're not excited about it, don't even double take at it. Yeah. It's not worth it, because you just waste your time looking over the idea, looking into it, studying, and then just to be unhappy at the end. Yeah. All right. So we're getting close. So we're going to lead off with what we always do on these podcasts. The next day steps. So for me, I got to think about what I need to do tomorrow. I was on vacation, so first step is getting back into the flow of things. I think pushing myself a little more on one of my consulting contracts, really diving deep into that. I think that's going to be the step tomorrow, making sure I go ham on that. Hopefully get somewhere with that. Where are you looking at, Christian, tomorrow?
I know I've just been learning more about newsletter stuff. So just getting stuff going out to the audience that we have so far.
Mm-hmm.
Being consistent with that automation process so that it doesn't just run dry and I'm not sending anything out. So I need to work on that and study, like, what can I give a value that people will actually be interested in? Like, so researching that more, because I've been kind of putting that on the back burner a little bit, like building the newsletter and what the content should actually be.
Okay.
And obviously I want to stay within the realm of what we're talking about, but
yeah,
how do I create, and sometimes it's going to be repetitive a little bit.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm going to start working on.
Chris, what's next steps look like for you?
Yeah, I think this week is just really going to be for me. Last week was very busy and hectic for me. So this week I got some time to kind of really reset, focus, be intentional. I've got several meetings with some people to kind of pick their brains about how to advance my own career,
mm-hmm.
and how to advance others too. There's some things, some ideas I have about how do I give opportunities to people on my team and things like that. But really, it's really just for me to just reset, focus, be intentional, and figure out, you know, preparation. I got, like I said, in a couple of weeks, I got a, you know, presentation, not really a presentation, but like this lunch and learn thing to do. Just want to make sure I'm prepared for that. And just do it. I'm trying to teach myself to just don't, I get so caught up in anticipating for these type of things, like mm-hmm. speaking engagements or when am I going to talk about this person, but I got this meeting scheduled for tomorrow. But I just need to just do it. Get over that social anxiety. It's going to take some time, but I think the best way to do that is experience. Yeah. Keep doing it. And I get better at it. So that's my plan for this week.
Yeah. Alexis.
Love this episode, by the way. Let me just say that for one. First thing I'm going to do is move my calendar. It will no longer be behind the door. I will put a picture in the podcast if I need to, just to prove it. And check out Mural in OneNote. That sounds very useful. I'm on Google Docs all the time, so that sounds up my alley for sure. And just being more accountable with making sure I'm prioritizing and knocking things off my list. And that's pretty much it.
Awesome. Hello, everyone. That brings this episode to a close. As usual, make sure that you leave a comment. Let us know how the episode went. Some of the things that you want to hear us talk about as far as our journeys and what we're looking into doing in the future. As always, like, subscribe, and make sure that you're documenting your own journey as you're going through this. You know, this is another way for us to keep ourselves accountable. So keep yourself accountable. And until next time, we see you. Peace.
Later.
Good sold, fellas. So as far as the setup, I know you'd use a lot of this stuff for Voight.